email ray@rte.ie. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Yeah, 51551 for your text. Now, last week we had a fascinating conversation with Pat O'Mahony about the lack of options for retired people in Ireland, in particular the lack of retirement villages. And Pat feels so strongly about it that he's written a book. Options for old people in Ireland seem to be limited to living with adult children, living in a nursing home, or trying to live alone with limited help. During our chat with Pat, we were contacted by many people who said they have found a better way, and a name that came up over and over again, and indeed it's mentioned in Pat's book, is Macaulay Place in Naas. I'm joined now by Dennis Hines, who's a resident of Macaulay Place. How are you doing, Dennis?
Very well, Ray, thank you.
Good to see you. And Margarita, say your surname.
Solan.
Solan, right. Who was one of the founders of Macaulay Place. Thanks so much for coming in. And you sent us an email, Margarita, because what we were talking about was resonating with you. So you did it before Pat had even put pen to paper.
Absolutely, yes.
How long is Macaulay Place in existence?
First resident came in, I think it was about 2011, but we started the organisation in 2000. It took us 9 years to get the funding, but we did it.
Right.
And, yeah, so after 9 years of amazing, amazing voluntary work and incredible support from the local community, we finally got the funding from the government to do it.
I love reading about you because you had a vision in your head.
It was amazing.
And when did you first get that vision in your head?
I nursed amazing old people. I specialised in oncology, but I gravitated towards working with old people. And in my head, in all these places that I was working, I was saying, this is wrong. And if I could change it, I would have, okay, great interior design. I would have access to a lovely garden. It wouldn't be the place where all the older people are. It wouldn't be all uniforms and medicine. It would be arts and culture. So in my head, I had the whole thing designed and never thought it would be anything more than that. Until a neighbor.
So did you work in nursing homes?
I was a nurse, yes.
In nursing
homes? Yeah. Well, general first oncology then, yes, but I gravitated to nursing homes. Yes.
Nursing homes, yes. So you were seen as it is for most people.
Absolutely.
When they reach a certain age,
yeah,
yes.
Yeah.
And you thought there's got to be a better way.
Totally. And like, I was so gifted by having access to these amazing people that were gifting my life. And I'm going like, why can't everybody else be meeting these amazing people that are nurturing me? I was nursing them, but they were nurturing me.
Yeah.
So in my head, it was kind of, they have to be in the community, but they were my age once.
Of course.
And we all say, I don't want to get there. I don't want to do that. And I'm going, okay, but I'm going to be their age. What's going to be there for me?
Yeah. And you had one of your neighbours as well.
Had a stroke, an amazing, amazing guy, Paddy Murray and his wife, Essie. They had no children, so no grandchildren. And myself and my husband had moved from other counties to where we were, so we didn't have extended family. And we were just a perfect fit. And Paddy across the road had a stroke. And I realised that if he gets well enough to come back to his house, but his house isn't suitable for him, he's going to end up somewhere that he shouldn't be. And that's when I said, you're going to have to do something, because I'm married to a Paddy. And I said, if something happens, my Paddy, we could be in the same situation. And I said, just do it now. I hadn't a clue, not a clue. Nurse Margarita decided, OK, we're going to do this. But the community of Naas were just unbelievable with the faith they put into the vision that I had.
Yeah. And your vision chimes with the vision that Atul Gawande writes about in Being Mortal.
Yeah.
And in a way, and I said it last week, we can be 20, 30, 40 years behind America, can't we, in these things?
Yes. Yeah.
And then Pat's experience in Australia, they've been doing retirement villages for 40 years. And did you know that this was going on elsewhere in the world? No, you just had this singular vision in your head.
Totally.
In
Naas. Absolutely. Yeah, totally. Yeah. And I hadn't
known
how to do it. Yeah. I'd have died trying, Ray. I was so convinced this has to be. And I could, in my head, I could see what it was like. I could see people living in this place. I really could see it. And nothing would have stopped me. But like, again, like Naas people were incredible. And the number of volunteers that came on board and are still there as well. Like, we couldn't have done it without them.
And the important thing is, well, a couple of important things. The one you've laid it out there, it's very important to say, we're all going to be, you know, if we're lucky enough, get to your age, Dennis.
Exactly,
That's one thing. And the only option for a lot of people now is stay at home or go to a nursing home. That's not a great choice, really, is it? It's Hobson's choice.
No, or go and live with one of your adult children. If you go and live with one of your adult children, you're not living in your own home, you're living in their house. And no matter how much you love them, you're away from all of your own social connections. You know, your own butcher, baker, candlestick maker, your own doctor, your own hairdresser, your own chemist, your own everything else. So it's really, really, really important that we've got somewhere close to us, that we still have all the reference points and all the supports that we had before.
I'm going to go back to you. We'll do it out of chronological order, if that's okay. Mm-hmm. And we'll go to Dennis. So Dennis, you and Sylvie, your wife.
Celia.
Yeah. Celia, your wife, spotted Macaulay Place when?
Well, there was a meeting, I think, in Macaulay Place, which we attended. And Margarita was there. And that's how it all started for us.
Right.
And I liked what was said at that meeting. They showed us some apartments, which were very nice, and I'm very, very lucky to be living there.
Yeah.
And my wife, Lord of Mercy, and she loved it there. It's a vibrant place, interesting people. We have a fantastic coffee shop. We have a residence lounge, where if you get fed up in your apartment, you can go over to the residence lounge and relax, and there's settees and armchairs and everything in there. And it's just one of these places right on top of the town. So you don't have to have a car you don't need a car, really.
Yeah.
So
when did Celia die?
Celia died 3 years ago.
Right. And how many years had you been in Macaulay Place before that?
We were there from the beginning.
Right.
Right from the beginning, yeah.
Okay, yeah. And where did you come from then? Did you what sort of a house were you renting, or did you own your house?
Well, we'd lived in the UK for a long time and then came back to a little village in Cork. And from there, I came to a meeting at Macaulay Place, and it all started from there.
Right, okay. So you've no connection with Naas or Kildare? Or?
Not really.
No.
Family, a lot of family.
Oh, dear,
around.
Right. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
So back to your head then, Margarita. So then, at what stage did you share this with other people?
Well, I hadn't a clue what to do, so I went to some of the local politicians and kind of said, you know, what do I do, or, you know, how do I go about this? This is what I plan to do. And like, I was sent, to be quite honest with you, on a wild goose chase, you know, around kind of health service providers and people in the health system. And it was only when I heard Gerry Cowley on the radio, that you referenced him last week in Mulroney, and I went down to him. I phoned him and I went down to him the following week, and he told me about the Irish Council for Social Housing, which is an umbrella organisation for voluntary housing groups. And then I realised, oh, okay, so we've got to form a voluntary housing association. So got the pathway in that, and the Irish Council for Social Housing were amazing in holding our hand to get the voluntary housing association going. So we got some people from the local community to come on, form a board. We formed a board, and we got charitable status, and then we identified the property that we were going to work in, which was the Convent of Mercy in Naas, which is it's an amazing, because the location is so important.
What was your pitch to these people to get them on board? Not the official people, but the volunteers. What was your pitch to them?
We need it.
Like, right.
We're all aging.
Yes.
There's nowhere there for us. Where are you going to go? Everybody's saying, oh, shoot me if I get to that stage, or I'll take the tablet or anything else. But
put a pillow over my head or whatever.
But everybody's saying it. But then I'm saying, what are you going to do when you get to that stage? It's going to be too late for you. Do you want to actually create the kind of place that you'd want to go to? So what I want to do is this, you know, I want somewhere in the heart of my own town. I don't want it to be a medical model. I want it to be artistic and creative. I don't want it to be a place that everybody says that's where the old people live. I want it to be a place that people would choose to go to. And they came on board.
Right.
The Lions Club were the first. Lions Club and JF Dunn Insurances were the first two that actually gave us any funding. And then, like, we had a golf classic in 2006 that raised €100,000. We had sixth class primary school doing a cake sale that brought in €650. So another sixth class wanted to make €670. So they did another fundraiser.
Okay.
Like, people were, I can't say all the people that did it, and by naming one, I should name the other. They made it all possible.
And as Pat was saying, the Australian model is half of them are provided by organisations like yourselves, and half of them are by commercial organisations.
Okay.
And both seem to work in Australia.
Mm-hmm.
So you sort of earmarked a property, which was the local disused convent.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
And was there a price on that at the time?
Yes. The Sisters of Mercy were unbelievable. I would have to say, like, we couldn't have done it without their patience and their support, and they gave us very good funding as well. So they said that we could buy it once we got planning permission. You know, they wouldn't sell it to anybody else, and they would hold it for us until we got planning permission.
Wow.
So it took us 3 years to get planning permission. And to get planning permission, you've got architects' fees and you've got engineers' fees and quantity surveyors and all the rest of it. So we fundraised for those 3 years. And we got our planning permission for 37 apartments at that stage. Yeah, we're doing it. You know, all the people in Naas would be saying, how's it going? And when are you going to another next week? So we finally got our planning permission, and we went to the Department of Environment. You know, our understanding was, once you have your planning, you get your funding. And we were told no. What do you mean? No, we have waited 3 years for this. It's not value for money. If we went for a greenfield site, it would have been value for money because they could only evaluate it in terms of bricks and mortar. This is what it would cost. But what we were doing, it was a listed building, so there was a lot of extra hidden costs in it.
Right.
So what would we do? And in fairness to the people of Naas and the board, the entire community, we went back to the drawing board and we did another planning application that would be a higher density. So it would be value for money. So instead of 37 apartments, it was 53 apartments.
Right.
It took us 3 more years to get the second planning permission.
Right.
And we got it. The first planning permission.
You were dogged, weren't you?
I'd have died trying.
Yes,
I was so convinced.
Very
I really would. Yeah. We got our first planning permission on the 19th of May 2003.
Yeah.
We got our second planning permission on the 19th of May 2006. And it took us 3 more years to get funding approval from the department.
Yeah.
And we got it on the 19th of May 2009. You
well
know
done.
My birthday is? The 19th of May.
Which
so
is coming up.
There's something else outside of this organisation. And I say that it's the spirit of the people that I had nursed that had really, really dreadful end of life that fed in to, I don't know how it works, but it works. And their energy helped us to keep going.
Now, will you, I see that you have the book in front of you.
Atul Gandhi. I don't know how many copies of this.
The listeners to the show will be bored hearing about this book. But will you tell them about it? Because I'm sick, blue in the face telling them about it. What is the thesis there? So it's being mortal, Atul Gawande.
It says here, it's illness, medicine and what matters in the end. I have bought more copies of this than I've had hot dinners and I haven't the next one ready to give to somebody else. And we all need to read it because no matter what we do, no matter where we go, we are going to die. But this book is about having the best quality of life that you possibly can before you die. And why are you trying to prolong it artificially? Why don't you put the whole energy and effort into making it a good ending and a good end of life? It's amazing.
Which is a good cue for Dennis because all of the things that you don't know this, but all the things that he outlines in the book, you get in Macaulay Place.
Yes,
you
indeed.
Are you independent?
Totally independent.
Yes.
Independent.
Is there flexibility?
Lots of flexibility.
Yeah.
And the residents there are just, they're so happy there. It's a happy place to live.
Yeah.
And we have a residence lounge. We have a beautiful coffee shop, reception area, which is always manned. And it's just one of these places that I wouldn't, if I became a millionaire tomorrow, I wouldn't live anywhere else. I wouldn't move out of Macaulay Place.
I went on the website and there was a click on a video for you, I think the journal.ie dude, and I said, I recognise that man from somewhere. and then I did
a
little research.
You have a celebrity.
You were on First Dates, right?
I was, yes.
Yes, yeah,
I was.
Wait, how long ago?
That's a couple of years ago, and then I was on graduation dating as well.
What's graduation dating now?
Similar to first dates. All down in the Gibson Hotel.
How did you get on with First Dates?
Very good.
Yeah.
Very good, yeah. I enjoyed being on there, yeah.
Yeah. And are you dating anybody at the moment?
No.
No?
No.
But you're available?
Well, if I meet the right one, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
So you're in an apartment and yourself and Celia shared that. And did you downsize then when Celia died?
No, I stayed.
You stayed?
No, I stayed in the same. It's a ground floor apartment.
Right.
And it's a lovely apartment.
Yeah.
Very happy there.
Right.
Wouldn't live anywhere else.
Even if you won the lotto.
No.
What about Euro Millions now? If you won Euro Millions. No, I'm joking.
I take some of that money from Macaulay Place to finish our health. We have to finish
exactly,
the Health Through Learning Centre, so I take the money for that.
Which brings us nicely onto the finances of it.
Okay.
Margarita. So how does it work? What's the model?
Okay, so it's a social housing scheme, okay? Even though 75% of the residents are from local authority housing or eligible to be, and 25% are of independent means. So we got 7.4 million from the government to build the apartments, okay? And we get no ongoing funding from the government as such. So we depend on the rents that are coming in from the residents to run the place. We couldn't do what we do without the volunteers. So that brings a huge amount of unpaid supported work to the place.
Yeah.
They're priceless. They're absolutely priceless. So we have a small number of staff. Mark, the general manager. We have a facilities manager, Ross. There's a manager in the tea rooms. There's an assistant.
But that's open to the public as well, is it?
Oh, very, very important. Yes. Yeah, anything that we organise in the place is rarely, if ever, organised just for the residents.
Yes.
I'll come back
and
to
that. That's important for a number of reasons, for money stream,
yes.
And for the fact that everyone's mixing.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's to be a vibrant upcoming place.
Yes.
Like, we do things then like, and come back to finance in a minute if you want to, but like in the Arts and Culture Centre, there are all sorts of concerts and events going on. In fact, this Thursday, Jerry Fish is going to be there.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And Mark, the manager, asked me just to make sure to mention that tickets are available in ticketstop.ie for Jerry Fish, which is just in an old chapel.
It's a lovely venue. It's an old, yeah.
It's beautiful.
With the stained glass window and all. Yeah. It's a lovely place.
I'm
sure the acoustics are good.
They're very terrific.
Dennis has organised some concerts there himself.
Yes, I have. We'll do again in the future.
Right. Who've you brought?
Oh, we had different bands there, and I had 12 ladies one time, didn't I?
Mm-hmm. Is that the name of the band?
In a band. Mm. 12 ladies, yeah.
Right.
Christy Moore is a patron of the organisation,
so
and Christy's been down
Moore
a couple of times as well. We've also had weddings, like the venue can be hired out for weddings, which is just incredible.
Fantastic weddings.
And then we have a woodland garden as part of the development, and so you can spill out into the woodland garden. We had Cormac Begley, just amazing musician there.
He's amazing. Yeah.
But he did a concert in that woodland garden, which was just incredible. Yeah. Really, really beautiful.
So, you have 53 apartments?
Correct, yes.
Right, so, and there's a number of couples, small number of couples, so you have around 60 people.
Yes.
Paying 60,
yeah.
rent.
Yes.
But it's nominal.
Yes.
Okay. And is there some, if people have means then, when they come to you first, they pay an upfront
key money. Okay, so we'll go back. 75% of the residents are from local authority housing or eligible to be. So if I'm living in a local authority house and I'm not managing in the three bedrooms, I can give that back, you know, give it up to the council, and then I can get an apartment in Macaulay Place.
Right.
So I would pay whatever rent I can afford, and it's subvented, means tested by Kildare County Council. We've no involvement with that. We just get the rent from the resident. That's it. People of independent means, the 25%, pay the same rent as the people in the 75% category, but they pay an upfront key money of €45,000.
So they could sell their house.
Yes, I could sell my house tomorrow and move into Macaulay Place, and I keep the money apart from €45,000 key money. Now this is important. That's on a sliding scale over 5 years. So if I die in the first year that I move into Macaulay Place, 4/5 of that €45,000 goes back to my estate.
Okay.
And at the end of 5 years, there's no liability there. And throughout, I'm still paying just the rent, the weekly rent.
So how do you qualify? You have to be over 65.
You have to be over 65 years of age or over, able to look after your activities of daily living. In other words, wash, dress and feed yourself. If you need full-time nursing care, no. But you can have a carer. You can have a housekeeper. Mm-hmm. You know, you can have your public health nurse calling into you.
Have you got a queue? Have you got a list of people?
We give priority to people from NACE and the surrounding areas. So Dennis wasn't from NACE. He has relatives nearby. But in the early stages, it was easier if you weren't from the catchment area. But now it's harder if you're from outside, you know, if you're not from the county.
Well, people know what it is now. And they know what it has to offer.
Exactly.
And they've heard people like Dennis and other people singing its praises.
Yes.
So they want a bit of it.
Now,
have you had interest from all over the country over the years of people looking to set up a similar thing in their own towns and villages?
I could have had a full-time job actually bringing people
could
around
you?
To show them what it is that we're doing. And I would do it all
and
the time.
Have any of those that you know of come to fruition?
Not that I'm aware
of,
to be quite honest with you. But like, it has sown seeds, and I don't know how long it takes. Look how long it took us to get ours going. But I think we've inspired people. I think also even policies like doing housing for older people on the periphery of a town or, you know, isolated, I don't think that's going to happen anymore. We've proven how well it works. We're actually in the National Development Plan as an example, the 2040 National Development Plan. We've been highlighted in some European case studies, and President Higgins has recommended as a national exemplar.
I think we have a copy of Pat's book upstairs, which we must give to you.
Okay, great.
One of Pat's big things was that it needs to be strategic planning.
It
can't happen in a haphazard
way. Absolutely not.
You know, that this has to be written into policy.
Yes.
Because look at all the things, all the hoops you had to jump through to get there. And without your doggedness, it wouldn't have happened.
Yeah, but you talk about policy, right? Like, one of the things that I used from the very beginning, one of the benchmarks that we used in all our policy planning and everything else is a document that's not really addressed enough. And it's the United Nations Principles for Older Persons. I will not read them all out to you, but I do want to read two of them, okay? One of them says that older persons should have access to educational, cultural, spiritual and recreational resources of society. Now, that's a human right. Okay, if I'm stuck in my house and I'm not able to get out and I'm getting a carer in once a week, my human rights are being abused. I have to be enabled to go out. We did it with people with disability before. We kept them in and we didn't allow them access. Now it's level access footpaths and buses and everything else. But for older people that are isolated in their own homes, that's one. And I want to come back to that in a second if I can. And the other one is that older persons should have access to healthcare. This is really important. To help them to maintain or regain, not just maintain or regain the optimum level of physical, mental and emotional well-being, and to prevent or delay the onset of illness. Yes. Now, if the policy is just to keep me in my own home and have a carer coming in to me, say, twice a week, what am I doing for all the other hours in that day that the carer comes in and all the other days? I'm losing mobility. I'm losing brain function. You know, this fight or flight syndrome is if somebody's going to come in through that door, I'm ready. But if nobody's coming in, the brain is very, very yes. clever. It starts to shut down. So is policy at the moment incubating people for long-term care as opposed to supporting them and enabling them to be well and mortal for as long as they can?
And of course, this is as a result of a changing demographic. Mm-hmm. You know, like I'm thinking back to my childhood. My granny lived across the green from us. There were 9 kids. She came across, helped my mum minding us with the ironing. There was Esther down the road who came up and helped bath mm-hmm. us on a Saturday evening. All of that sort of extended family.
Yeah.
Because families are smaller and people have to move away from the localities
Correct.
To work, mm. that sort of scaffolding of support isn't there anymore.
Yes.
For yeah. older people.
Yes.
And there isn't the connectivity. Mm-hmm. So we need to create it, don't we?
If we have an intergenerational space. And yes. Like even with all our volunteers, Dennis, you know the way, like we're all big family. We all become yeah. friends. We're, yes. we're independent of each other, but yeah. we support each other. At the same. Sure. It's subliminal. Like yeah. you said, the neighbours are down the road. So it's all connected.
Yeah. Mm. And of course, the problem is that we can't measure the positive effect it's had on you. What age are you now, Dennis?
I'm 81 now.
Yeah. But there's no way to measure. Like if Dennis wasn't in Macaulay Place, what he'd be like, because obviously he has made a choice and you're looking great on it. And
thank you.
Yeah, yeah. You are very dapper as well.
Thank you.
So I don't know what the answer is. And you're too busy doing what you do. You know,
I've retired now. I've passed on the baton, and I think this was really important because I had an identity with the place, but it's really important. It's not about any one individual.
No.
It's about the team, and it was really important. And there's a super, an amazing board now, you know,
yeah.
bringing it in the direction that they see that it has to go. And that's really, really important. Mm. But we need one of these in every town in Ireland. If you think, great, like 1 hour of care per week, 1 hour is €25. So if I get 4 hours of care just today, that's €100.
Yeah.
But what about all the other hours and all the other days? Yes, it's not sustainable, but it's not what we want.
I did the maths on it. And like Pat was saying, that the demand for this is 15% of people over 65. But in rural areas, it's up as far as 63%
okay.
of people. Right. Okay. So and this is at the low end.
Mm.
You would need about 117 places per 10,000.
That's very good. Yeah.
Around that.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense? Maybe a bit more than that. Sorry, 217 per 10,000. So, for example, Naas, with a population of around 20,000, you would need 435 places like this to meet the demand.
But it's a really cost-effective way of us having a better end of life
yeah.
and a much more desirable way. Like, do the maths on it.
Yeah.
It, as you said, the quality of life for the people
that
are living
life,
there.
It's, yeah.
yeah.
It's
and it's
fantastic.
All to that thing right back to the start, and it's like it's what you the wisdom this, and we talk about the wisdom, you know, that we accrue as we go through life, and then what you know, it should be there to be shared.
Absolutely. There's one last piece in our jigsaw, and that is, I spoke about the Health Through Learning Centre. You can't see it now, we're not live, but that's the garden in Macaulay Place. But attached to the garden, we have this building that dates back to the mid 1800s. We've already spent a couple of €100,000 on it, but we've no funding left and we want to finish it. Health Through Learning. It's going to be a health through learning centre. So through learning something, you can maintain your level of health and well-being. That's yeah. the whole point, artistic and creative. And it will be a space that will have a community sitting room in it, community lounge. So if you're on your own at home and you've nowhere to go to, you can come down and just hang out in this community lounge. But through this community lounge, there's the people going into to crafty things like
yes.
wood turning or weaving or flower arranging or basket making, with accommodation upstairs for an artist in residence, leading out to this woodland garden.
One of the criticisms we got last week when we were speaking to Pat O'Mahony was, I don't want to be, you know, ghettoised, you know, as an older person. I don't want to be shoved off to some place where old people go.
Yeah.
And that's not the plan, is it?
Absolutely not. No. This is intergenerational in our own community. Like,
God,
people, yeah.
It's just fantastic. And it's private living. The community are fantastic.
Yeah, independent.
We have everything there, independent. There should be one in every town, as Margarita said.
And you feel secure as well, Dennis?
Very secure.
Yes.
We have CCTV cameras all over the place, so you feel very, very safe there.
Yeah.
I must say.
Somebody asked me once, you know, what do you do when you get sick? And I loved the question because my answer was, well, what do you do when you get sick? Do you phone your landlord or do you phone your doctor?
Yeah.
You know, so like we're not a medical model. They're, you know, if a resident needs a doctor, they phone the doctor. If a resident feels I could do with some home help, they phone the HSE and they find the pathway there. The public health nurse will come in, you know.
This type of development is exactly what we need for people who want this situation. I would free up thousands of houses.
Yes.
It would free up thousands of houses. This must be replicated all over the country. And in the case of that lady talking about how her application was refused on the basis that it wasn't value for money, it seems that value for money in the eyes of those making very important decisions on our behalf comes down to a balance sheet as opposed to the well-being of society.
Great statement.
But even on the money, if you do the calculations on how much it costs to care for people, etc., it makes economic sense, doesn't
Absolutely.
It?
Absolutely.
Yes.
Yeah.
This has to stop if we were ever to solve many of our social problems, as Ronan. And is Macaulay Place a sheltered housing project? Lots of them around. They're fantastic.
You can call it sheltered housing if you want, but we call it independent living.
Okay. Independent living. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's different than, you know, the houses that older people go into, you know, say in a sort of a council estate or whatever, isn't it?
Yes, I went to see a fantastic development in Manhattan in Kansas, and it was quite an expensive private development, but again, it was all old people that were just there, you know. And like, why are we ghettoising people because of age? Well, let's put all 40 to 50 year olds in this housing estate, and let's put all, you know, 20 to 30 year olds in this housing estate. Like, that's just ridiculous.
And it's aging in your own place as well. I know, Dennis, you're an exception here, but still, you have connections with Kildare. But you need to be able to grow old in the place where you lived your life.
Absolutely.
With your connections.
Yes.
With your local newsagent, your local butcher, and going into the cafe and Mary knows that you have one sugar and not two or whatever.
Absolutely. Yeah.
That's so important. Margarita's fantastic. Just a quick query. Did they have to register with HICWA? Asked Joe.
No, because we are a non-medical model, and that was really, really important. We're not a medical. We don't provide any care, but we care.
Now, see, you've all the... Is that on a T-shirt? I agree that older people need to live with other of similar age and supported in the community. In Ireland, we have so few places where older can be looked after. We need warden controlled, where someone lives on the grounds and available 24 hours a day on call. In the UK, they have many places like this. I was in the coffee shop this morning, best scones in Ireland. That's Macaulay Place. A most friendly and helpful staff. Well done all, Christine is. Have you read The Thursday Club? That's set in a retirement village.
Okay.
Have you heard about
it?
That's set in a retirement. You should read it. I think you'd enjoy it, Dennis. Yeah.
There's another great book, Ray, and it's called Anti-Fragile. And Khalib Nassim, I think, is the name of the author. My son gave me the book. But that Anti-Fragile, like years ago, we stopped kids running in the playground in case they'd fall.
Yeah.
Now we're wrapping cotton wool around old people in case something happens. But we're stopping them having the quality of life.
Yes.
Us, me, I'm an older person. I'm 67. So, like, we need to live in anti-fragile as opposed to fragile situations. And that's what builds up our resilience. Yeah. That's what makes us able to do whatever we can.
You should meet Pat O'Mahony. We'll get the book for you. I think Neil has one.
Yeah.
I saw one on Neil's desk because he spoke to Pat last week. I have one at home, which I'm keeping for myself. Dennis, great to meet you.
Nice to meet you, Ray.
Yeah, and I'm glad to hear you're so happy.
Very happy. Very happy where I am.
Yeah.
And if any of your listeners want to help us to finish the Health Through Learning Centre, like just come and see what it is that we're planning to do.
Macaulay Place. Is it Macaulay Place?
Yes.
Yeah, is that the website as well?
Yes.
Macaulay Place. Fantastic to hear the wonderful Macaulay Place. Tilda, research study based in Trinity College, supports everything Margarita is saying. Independence, quality of life, mental and physical stimulation, intergenerational relationships, community and laughter. Well done, all involved. Inspirational. The problem in this country, of course, like a lot of countries, we have this 5-year political cycle. So there aren't many votes in this, are there?
Yeah, but we're still in the National Development Plan 2040. Yes. And it is cost effective. It is cost effective.
You know,
but Ray, thank you for highlighting highlighting this is really important. You know, you've given a voice for it, which is really important. So just to keep the thread going.
Yes, and that book, people should read it. Atul Gawande, Being Mortal.
And the Anti-Fragile book as well, yeah.
Margarita, thank you very much. Dennis, thank you.
Thank you.
And hello to everybody down in Macaulay Place. We'll take a quick commercial break.
Come in for a scone.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.